Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Nikki Haley all of a sudden has joined the chat. Never thought I would see this.
Oh, jeez.
She says, the U.S. should not engage in regime change in Iran. It's their decision to relieve a religious leader, not ours.
Well,
stay focused.
Well, Mark Levin said last night on Hannity that you're unpatriotic if you don't support the president.
Oh.
So, I mean, I've heard that. I was called that in 2003. So the same people are saying the same things over and over and over again.
Right. The same guy that no longer has a show here on 1210 WPHD. Yeah, well. Got it. All right. Let's get to the news. Round number one at 6:06. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live this morning. We are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group this morning. 65 degrees. It is pea soup out there with, yes, we're heating up with actually, believe it or not, a heat advisory that goes into effect mid-morning, late morning, and a stormy, volatile day. So we'll talk about it, and then when the skies will clear for us in Philadelphia, the Jersey Shore, and beyond. But definitely a day where you want a lot of accidents. You want to be careful out on the roads. Speaking of which, we have an update on, remember the stories about, mostly on I-95, all these car hookups and car meetups in which we had cars spinning donuts, spinning out. And this one we'll take you to is Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, where we have another story of this. Arrests, search for whoever did this. We have that one going on this morning in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And we are also learning more about that suburban guy in Westchester who we have been telling you about, where he was stopped after that No Kings rally, High Street, Westchester, Pennsylvania. He is a Malvern resident, and we know that they had conducted some search warrants of his vehicle, then of his home. First, we heard one pipe bomb, and now we're hearing more than a dozen explosives were actually found in this guy's home, who brought that gun, knives, masks, gloves, a lot of ammo to that No Kings event. So arrested for arriving at Westchester's No Kings rally, armed, now facing many more charges, and this from police investigators. We're learning this as, you know, these court appearances happen, as he makes future court appearances.
So for all the activity that we had on the YouTube chat yesterday, Nick, don't rush to judgment. Don't jump to conclusions. We don't know what this guy was really intending to do. 38 pipe bombs? Was he going to hold up a pizza joint?
It's a bizarre story.
One of these days, my sniffer will be off. It just won't happen on Wednesday morning.
Sniffer.
One of these days.
We also have, remember and it's too bad it's not a Friday with Sean Farish, because we always had all those tuna heists and beef heists. Mm. Well, now we have an update in this one. That beef bandit suspect that we had spoken about, the beef bandit, he has now admitted his beefed up crime. He pleaded guilty to theft of $7,000 in meat.
Oh, misdemeanor, or does that rise to the level of a felony?
No, this is pretty serious stuff.
Wow.
And so he's identified by prosecutors as Douglas Mathis. He pleaded guilty to theft, conspiracy, evading arrest. In fact, evading arrest among other charges in a deal that he has cut with prosecutors. He's sentenced to time served and up to 2 years, though, on probation to follow. He and two others, Jameer Scott and Tariq Duncan, they were accused of breaking into that tractor trailer. Remember that? We had a slew of those.
Oh, yeah.
They would break into the tractor trailers. And so he was trying to take 1,600 pounds of beef.
Yeah.
So he pleaded guilty to similar offenses and was sentenced to just probation, pleading guilty to his involvement. And as far as one of the guys had pleaded guilty to his involvement, three guys in total here, that guy was actually shot and killed back in April in Roxborough.
Wow.
Before he could be sentenced.
Jeez.
Choir boys.
Yeah. You know, I hope these guys were at least going for strips, ribeyes, and fillets. I mean, I'd hate to see you get a seventh misdemeanor and time served for, like, you know, London broil.
Well, I only know about the story, Dawn, what you report, but it does. The mafia is notorious for tractor trailer heist. I mean, if you remember the movie Goodfellas,
sure,
Henry Hill, and the, you know, they used to attack tractor trailers.
Are these guys unaware that, you know, Aldi has some decent prices?
Aldi.
Listen to Dawn when she talks about value shopping for groceries.
Yeah. Yes.
And you don't have to steal them.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
The best advice that you could get. So we have multiple shootings across Philadelphia.
Are there descriptions of the shooters?
No.
Okay. Curious. Wondering. Going back to that that car meetup, are there descriptions of the kids with the car at the car meetup?
Well, if you, and by the way, 50 to 100 spectators at the intersection, and it's, you know, the intersection, it's right by some car dealerships.
Yeah.
So it's off
Ridge Pike and
Chemical Road. Yeah. Huge intersection. If you keep on going just a little bit further, you'll get to the one of the Aldis in the area.
That's right. That's my Aldi.
By the Ashley Furniture, which is a big, I hear them, their advertisements all the time on KYW. No, in this one, Greg, to answer your question, I know that police in Plymouth Township and Philadelphia are now asking for the public's help involved in these illegal car meetups, 50 to 100 spectators at a time. The biggest one apparently was on Sunday, but this has been a repeated problem. So they released these surveillance images, plural. I don't know, no close-ups, no descriptions.
Well, you would think this, you know, this generation, Nick, we talk about this all the time. This generation is always videoing everything.
Oh, I know. See, everything is recorded and documented.
You would think that they would go to the socials and start scouring the socials.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were blocking traffic.
Sure.
Doing donuts.
Would be an easy way to identify the suspect.
This is what happens when kids have summers off. They have nothing to do. Kids need to go to school all year round. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Take up a sport and go to summer camp.
Yeah.
So they were showing all these illegal car meetups across Philadelphia, across the suburbs. It would seem to me that they believe that the ones, whether they happen at 6300 block of Market Street, or, you know, 6600 Ogance Ave, or Ridge Pike and Chemical Road, it would seem that police seem to believe that some of these 100 individuals are the same individuals.
Interesting.
So are they from the city? Are they from the burbs?
Yeah, I'm guessing they're not from the burbs.
Yeah, probably not.
The burbs.
The local academy, yeah. The burbs. So they said that no injuries were reported in the latest one that happened in Plymouth Township, but they are not releasing, as Greg pointed out, not releasing any kind of a description. And in fact, if you look at the cameras, they're pretty wide, the wide shots. So the most distinctive thing I see is that sort of powder baby blue sport vehicle that they show prominently.
Oh, it's not a white Nissan?
And there is a white Nissan there.
Of course there is. Of course there is.
They all are very nice vehicles, but are they stolen vehicles? That's another question.
Yeah.
So
did they get the Nissan from Piazza?
Yeah, right. Maybe so. Yeah, so that's about it, but they're driving wild. A lot of, and fireworks too. They had fireworks, but no injuries. So surveillance video showing the driver circling, they say, dangerously in the intersection as people were hanging out of windows and setting off more fireworks. And if you look at this, this was not dark out. And so it's a big intersection. You see cars pretty much backed up for miles.
I would love to see the authorities come in and shoot out all the tires.
It needs to happen. And you said this happened on Sunday night?
This one happened. But, Greg, it doesn't look dark.
Well, I mean, it's...
So it's Sunday evening?
Friday's the longest day of the year, so it's dark late now.
Yeah, that's true. Ask Ted Cruz that. Does he know which day is the longest day of the year? I bet he doesn't know.
No shot he knows.
Can you imagine you're just coming home from, like, a family gathering on the weekend, and you just want to get home because you have a long day of work, and these punks... driving in the road, not letting you. I would be infuriated.
Yep.
I would drive my car right through them.
All you want to do is head down to your man cave and finish up the cut sheet. And these scumbags are making your day longer.
Get abused and body shamed on Twitter by people you thought were your friends.
Just ridiculous.
You know?
Cruel society.
Not that they could body shame. Either of them could body shame you, but... AccuWeather alerts. We got a lot of weather alerts. Do you want me to go? You're going to do Iran, right? We're going to do Iran outside of local news.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about all of that upcoming. And seriously, we started out this morning by saying, what did Nick say? But Nick Castellanos, nobody's even talking about the fact that the Phillies lost.
I know.
What did he say?
My Greek brother from another mother. Bad words. Potty mouth to the boss. Topper.
Like, what do you think he said?
Hey, Skip, shut the F up.
I don't know.
I bet you that's what he said.
Nah. Don't they throw around the F word like a lot?
It had I don't know what the culture is like in that clubhouse or in today's sports. I don't know. I would think even as a professional athlete, you got to have some respect for your manager or your head coach.
I mean, in a heated argument.
Of course. Yeah, that happens with everybody.
They're adults. You know, you can talk to another adult like that.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Maybe a mama joke? I don't know.
Rob
Thompson. I don't know what's off limits anymore.
Your mama. All right, so we got to get to Piazza Auto Group, our sponsor, before we get to all the AccuWeather alerts and heat wave alerts. Yeah. The Acura Summer of Performance event, it's going on right now at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Westchester, and Reading. Visit piazzaacura.com, explore current inventory and special lease, as well as finance offers. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our news, our sports. By the way, if you wanted to know the final score, is we lost 3-8. Not a pretty scene. But we Castellanos will be back today.
It's actually 8-3, not 3-8.
Oh, I'm okay. Sorry.
3-8, run ran.
Oh, geez. Sorry, Tucker.
We all get the point.
You know why I do it? Because
Tucker
I'm just
Tucker Stalker.
Nobody's ever called me that, and
Tucker
never do
Stalker.
It again. Never do it again.
If you start laughing with that girly laugh, we'll know something's happening.
What skeleton's in your closet, bro?
Just when you thought he was a man, when he was doing the dip and he had the bandits in there, and then he gives out that laugh, you're like...
Nobody thinks Tucker Carlson's a man. He grew up very privileged.
Yeah.
Very wealthy.
Weird dude.
He was born with a bow tie.
he really was.
He mentioned the other day, he's like, I know the Bushes. I grew up with the Bushes. I'm kind of related to the Bushes. I see the Bushes. Yeah. Like,
That's a pretty good impersonation right
there. Yeah, that was.
It's all interconnected there.
Yeah.
With all these people.
All right.
He just happens to be right on this subject.
Yeah. Philly weather, currently 70 degrees, going up to 82 today. We have scattered storms in the afternoon. Heat advisory. Same thing again tomorrow. It'll be 91 degrees, 90% chance of storms. Can we just get a nice 88-degree day? Is that too much to ask for from Mother Nature? Weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. All right, Wednesday Big Take is on the way. Stay there. It's Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Good to have you in. Tony Bruno coming up at 7:45 for a midweek edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Fight Club at 9:10. Joe Conklin tickets around 9:45. Let's get down to business. Time for a Wednesday Big Take.
Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by the good folks at Staples. The Big Take, Trump v. the Ayatollah. You know, we love to have fun on this show and give you a variety of stories spanning the globe, from politics and news to pop culture and entertainment to social and sports. I'd love to throw out something witty, such as the Ayatollah of rock and roll, or compare Trump versus the Ayatollah to Hulk Hogan against the Iron Sheik. But the truth is, I don't envy Donald Trump this morning. He is in a very difficult spot. War is disgusting. Death is awful. The motives behind the war and death, even more infuriating. And the sheer volume of gray area in this geopolitical war triangle is staggering. Does Iran really have nuclear weapons? Is Israel, as well as our own government, telling us that once again, history repeats itself, circa Iraq, WMD 2003. Do you support Trump if he decides to have the Ayatollah killed? Do you really believe that this will finally end the conflict once and for all, creating a safer Middle East and a safer United States? The layers to this onion need to be pulled back one layer at a time. But let me first state my two biggest takes. First of all, I don't believe that Iran has nuclear capabilities at this moment. And secondly, I do not want a single soldier deployed to the Middle East. Boots on the ground, deal breaker for me. But here's the reality of the situation. you can still be a staunch Trump supporter and disagree with any and all military action he may take against Iran. Trump campaigned on 20 promises. The only beef I've ever had with Trump is that he's not fiscally conservative enough for me. If he obliterates Iran, goes to war, and kills their religious and political leader, I'll be disappointed. But I still agree with him on 18 out of 20 things. I still agree with 90% of his actions and policies. And I agree to an extent with J.D. Vance, who tweeted this yesterday. Quote, POTUS has been amazingly consistent over 10 years that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I believe the president has earned some trust on this issue, end quote. Absolutely valid, totally fair. And I trust that Trump will make the right decision, but I reserve the right to criticize him if it ends up being the wrong one, as should you. Here was Rand Paul praising Trump on his instincts with this matter, but also discouraging him from going to war. Listen and watch.
The president's had good instincts traditionally on this, and his instincts have been for restraint, for thinking things through, and hopefully for not getting us involved in this war. And I think it would be a bad idea for us to be involved directly in the war. I think the chance of negotiation pretty much goes out the window with the first U.S. bombs dropping. Even as it is, we're so closely linked with Israel, I think that it's almost depicted as a joint action now. But I think it is a step for the worse if we actually are involved actively with bombing. The other thing in our country is we have this thing called the Constitution that says you can't go to war with countries without permission. So if he did decide, and he told me he's absolutely made the decision, I would recommend to him that he has to come before Congress, ask us for permission, and we'll have a vote the same night on whether or not to go to war.
Trump posting the following messages yesterday on Truth Social saying, quote, we now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran, followed by, quote, we know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out, a.k.a. kill, at least for now. But our patience is wearing thin, end quote. Meanwhile, the divide within the party, it's palpable. Staunch Trump advocates, such as Steve Bannon, Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, oppose U.S. involvement. I happen to fall into that camp, as does Ted Cruz, who says this will make the Ayatollah a martyr and only inflame things to a full-blown holy war against the West. Listen and watch this.
You know, look, that's a difficult question. I talked about it on the latest episode of my podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz, and we talked about it at some length. There has been reporting, I don't know if this is accurate, I don't know independently, but I've read the newspaper stories that say that Netanyahu wanted to target the Ayatollah and the Trump White House asked them not to. I don't have a reason to doubt or dispute that reporting. And listen, I think it's a close call. Generally, in warfare, nations refrain from targeting heads of state. It's also complicated by the Ayatollah being simultaneously a religious figure, and taking out a religious figure, there are real risks to that. There are risks of making him a martyr and inflaming things further.
I think most people would say that that's a very fair response to the question that was posed to the senator from Texas. But then Cruz looks bad, in my opinion, when he joined Tucker Carlson as the divide continues to grow. Listen and watch this clip.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
You don't know anything about Iran. So,
okay,
actually,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government. You're the one who claims anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. I said we. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, this, you're breaking news here, because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting Israel.
High stakes. You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening. Okay.
Meanwhile, other MAGA influencers are on board with whatever Trump decides on. In my opinion, that makes you incapable of thinking for yourself. One thing we can all agree on, though, is that Lindsey Graham is a detestable human being. The worst of the worst in politics. Why do I say that? Well, old Warhawk from South Carolina, he wants boots on the ground. He said the following on Fox News. Listen and watch.
Can you guarantee that? Can President Trump in any form, can you make the commitment that this would not lead to a longer war?
I can guarantee you that if the Ayatollah gets a nuclear weapon, he will use it. I believe that with all my heart and soul. So the men and women who serve, they're the ones going, not people answering a poll. And if you ask them, would you be willing to risk your life to stop the Ayatollah from having a nuclear weapon? All of them would say yes, because it makes their country, our country, safer. So we live in a world where you've got to confront problems. You want to avoid World War III? Learn the lessons from World War II. People in World War II appeased Hitler to the point that it got so much out of hand, we had a world war and 60 million people got killed. So we live in a world where you pay now or you pay later. Let's stop this threat before he gets a nuclear weapon. Let's end this reign of terror. Let's do it now. It's not going to take 20 months, but I can't guarantee you your freedom and your safety unless we're willing to fight for it. I can guarantee you this. If we don't fight for our freedom, we will lose it.
And I guarantee Lindsey Graham will profit off of this. Let me ask you something, LG. We destroy Iran. We kill the Ayatollah. What's that buy us? The rest of Trump's term? What about the retaliations domestically from radicalized Islamic jihadists already in the country? You know, some of the 15 million plus that came here with open borders? You don't think Iran will respawn in due time and return to their old ways? Did you think terrorism was over when bin Laden was killed? Tough guy. Did you think that the Middle East would be less violent after Saddam was captured and killed? No, 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 and no. When someone is fighting with a warped religious ideology so extreme, do you really think that they will ever stop? No, they won't. And then, what about the conflicting messages from within? Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. Here's what she said in March, followed by Trump being asked about it Monday night. Listen and watch these.
The IC continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003.
Tulsi Gabbard testified in March that the intelligence community said Iran wasn't building a nuclear weapon.
I don't care what she said. I think they were very close to having
it. So Tulsi was put in this position, and many of us love Tulsi Gabbard, as does Trump. Only for Trump to overrule her intel, which is fine. You're the president of the United States. But what about flat out excluding her from top level meetings? Listen and watch this report.
The Nimitz and some of her escorts were spotted yesterday crossing the Singapore Strait, steaming west after leaving the South China Sea. On board are squadrons of F-18 Super Hornet strike aircraft and an electronic warfare squadron. More than 20 Air Force tankers have flown to the Middle East from Europe. All eyes now on Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, home to the B-2 stealth bombers. If the president orders them to fly, it's a 30-hour round trip to the Middle East and would require a lot of mid-air refueling, hence the pre-positioning of all those refuelers to Europe. As we learn more about what the president is thinking about further U.S. involvement to stop Iran's nuclear program, John, my colleague Peter Ducey is reporting that the president's top intelligence chief, Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, was not invited to Camp David on June 8th, where the intelligence and plans were being discussed. She was on National Guard duty at the time, but U.S. officials tell Peter she was never invited in the first place. She is in the Situation Room today, however. John.
That's fine. I mean, he's the president, but what is Trump being told that Tulsi Gabbard is not? The Washington Post with the following headline, quote, U.S. spies said Iran wasn't building a nuclear weapon. Trump dismisses that assessment. So Trump believes Bibi, I guess. Is Trump trying to wipe out the nation that may have placed two attempts on his life? And is Trump contradicting himself on phrases such as peace and prosperity, as well as peace through strength? He has definitely acted strong. The Truth Social posts that I read earlier in the Big Take illustrate that. But where do you stand? According to a poll I posted yesterday on X, almost 800 votes, it is almost 50-50 down the middle as to whether or not we should kill and remove the Ayatollah from power. I actually believe it's more like 60-40, perhaps 65-35, that are Trump fans who are against him taking action on Iran. But let me reiterate one last thing. You can love Trump on the economy, the border, energy, law and order, eliminating DEI, gutting federal agencies, and much, much more, which I do. While also disagreeing with him on this conflict, if we get involved, that should not involve us and should not involve us anymore, because it's the never-ending war. And that's the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Staples. How many times have we all said, well, that was easy? Well, the Staples Easy button is back. And it's got us saying it again for custom points, shipping services, even passport photos, plus quality products. Delivered next day to over 98% of the United States. Staples. That was easy. 855-839-1210, the phone number. You can get in on X at 1210WPHT. And, of course, you can say nice things, intelligent things, or mean and nasty things on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons while you are there. Don Stensland, with all the developments in the last 20 hours since we recessed for the day, where do you stand? What do you make of these latest developments with everything with Trump in the Middle East?
I thought it was interesting last night that what he was commenting on with True Social, he was quiet about this issue. He was putting out the fact that he had great poll numbers that came out. He put out his job and performance approval, which are pretty incredible. He reposted a Daily Caller story about the border hawks counting on the big, beautiful bill to reach the finish line. So commenting on that and those wage numbers, those U.S. wage numbers, the best wage growth in 60 years. And I know Scott Bessent was at some point speaking out about that last night. And then this, and I read this, this was 10 hours ago, and I was, at this point, I'm like, I don't know, drunk on Trumpaholicism. You know what I mean? Not that I am drinking alcohol, but like I had been consuming it and debating stuff with my husband so much about all of this.
Yeah, it's safer to drink alcohol, by the way.
It's probably, yeah. So but less
calories. Can confirm.
But being a Trumpaholic, there are no calories, so you're not going to gain weight, right? But I read this, and he said that it was his great honor.
Your soul.
It was his great honor to announce he was putting these two beautiful flagpoles on both sides of the White House, north and south. His gift and something he always felt was missing from the White House, from this magnificent place, as he calls it. So he says the digging and placement of the poles begins 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, which is this morning, and then the flags will be raised at about 11 a.m. Eastern time, the most significant poles may. So I look at this and I say to my son, Michael, is this a sign? Is it? And he goes, Mom, stop, just stop. Just, you know, because I think we're all in the weeds of this. And I literally thought, is he trying to tell us something that the two poles?
You are nutty.
I know. It became like nutty to me. Yeah. But I think that he's going to really put up two flagpoles, which is very nice. The most, and I'm kind of tongue in cheek here, but the most significant thing I think is how quiet he became over this issue.
Well, it's easy to go quiet once you basically say, we know where you're hiding and we can kill you if we want to. Right? Like, you don't, there's really no going back from that. I mean, what else can you say?
So it's like a game of, so basically he was putting out the word, he was giving the warnings, and then he went silent. He was active talking about other stuff that's important, but not talking about this. So what does that tell you? Or what does that tell me? It tells me that he's put out the warnings and that it's like a giant game of chicken, if you will, to say, we have the wherewithal. And by the way, I mentioned the Missouri air base where the B-2s were. Then there was word that these Spirit stealth bombers that are the only ones that can drop the biggity, as I said, the big penetrator that we talked about yesterday, all of that. Everybody, by the way, we were the first on Kale & Company to have that discussion. everybody else was talking about it later in the day, not before us.
Excellent penetrator.
Thank you.
Yep.
And so my feeling is that he would rather show great restraint, but this is not a war.
Yeah.
This is a situation where, in my humble opinion, President Trump, the people who are pro-penetrator, right, the bunker, as I call it, the MOAB, the M-O-A-B-B, the mother of all bunker busters, this special penetrator that they were just testing within the last 90 days, something that they perfected during his first administration, but that started, that Iran built this underground fortress in this mountain about 100 miles south of Tehran. They completed this in 2009 after all the Scud missiles and after the creation of this, the first version of this that we're talking about, this type of, the style of bunker buster that nobody else has. And no matter what anybody says, the only way to take out this fortress underground here, this so-called fuel station, they call it photo. So this is the chance. And I'm sure that's what anybody who's pro take out the mountain, the underground fortress, that's what they're saying to him. They're saying this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so whether or not you want to debate Tulsi, I actually did not hear a contradiction when you were playing that audio yesterday. What she was saying was they don't have it, meaning right now, meaning the nukes. But what Netanyahu said, if you listen to everybody, to me, what they're saying, all these things could be true all at once. Because in other words, Netanyahu came out and said, well, they would have it within 6 months to a year. So whether they're going to have it in 90 days or 6 months or a year, I think there is evidence that they've got the right mix. But you have an opportunity, no matter what they've got and when they'll have it,
Yeah. You
have an opportunity to regress their program, not just a year, not just 2 years, which is what they're saying they've done right now. As of right now, they've taken out enough that they have pushed back any kind of hope of having that program for about a year or two. But if they take out the fortress in the mountain, right, boom, it's done. It's 20 plus years.
I want to get to
the difference.
I want to get to the nukes and that element in just
they
a
don't
moment.
Have to have the they don't have to use a nuclear. They could use a nuclear warhead, but they don't have to.
No, I'm referring to Iran's nuclear capabilities. I want to get to that in just a moment, but I'm old enough to remember when Eric Swalwell was eating a taco at his desk and it was Taco Trump, because Trump always chickens out, which is interesting when we talk about the tariffs. He doesn't chicken out when it comes to killing terrorists and radical leaders, although this is a bigger fish to fry, so to speak, right? Because you've got the dual element with the Ayatollah, not only being a political leader, but also a religious leader. And we've had plenty of people, whether it's Rand Paul, Lindsey Graham, or even Ted Cruz, saying, you know, typically in war, we do not take out the political leader of another nation. Although Trump, I mean, if gun to my head right now, do I think Trump's going to have the Ayatollah killed? I would say no. But he also said, I'm giving you 60 days. And then on day 61, he took out two bad hombres. So take that for what it's worth. Now, Greg, you have the
well,
BB
yeah,
thing.
I mean, since we're talking about BB and how he's very consistent.
Netanyahu?
Yeah, let's see how consistent he's been about Iran and nuclear weapons. This is a montage put together of how many times he said this. Roll this.
If not stopped,
2025.
Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months.
They have 2018. The wherewithal, the stored up, preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly if they wanted to do it.
Iran 2015. Is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the enriched uranium for an atom bomb. Iran is gearing up to have
2006.
To produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year, 250 bombs in a decade.
Ladies and gentlemen,
1996.
Time is running out.
Iran will be capable
1995.
Of producing alone, without importing anything, nuclear bombs within 3 to 5 years.
30 years. Right. 30 years.
So I've heard
30 years we've been hearing this.
I've heard threats to democracy for a decade.
30 years.
I've heard Social Security will be gone for a decade. I've heard global warming, which morphed into climate change, and Iran and nuclear weapons. This is what I'm talking about from my perspective. The never-ending fear porn, where we just keep hearing the same cliches and rhetoric for decade after decade after decade. I mean, could they have nuclear capabilities? Could they have enriched their potential? Sure, that's possible. But this notion, at least in my opinion, I do not believe Iran would have 9 or 10 nuclear weapons in weeks to a month. Am I the only one that does not believe that they have that capability? I mean, we just had the UN, I don't want to call them spies, but the people that go in and make sure that these nations are not going above and beyond their what they're allowed to do. And everybody has said, even including Tulsi, that they're not a threat. Now, they might be a threat to the Middle East, but, I mean, are they a threat to America? I mean, I'm going to kind of contradict myself. I do believe they have tried to assassinate Donald Trump. I do believe he's on a hit list in Iran. But as far as Iran dropping some sort of massive destructive bomb on the United States, does anybody believe that? I don't. And I think they're a deplorable nation. I do think that they are totally kooky. But as far as this, here's what's going on to justify another war so that we can get in there and do what we love to do. Again, I go back to the question of, well, how much time does this buy us? I mean, the year's 2030, right? Is Iran back to nuclear capabilities? I can already see the headlines, regardless of who the president is from 5 years from now, Democrat or Republican.
You know what's curious to me? When you just played that montage, I think the one that you played was just from June 12th of Netanyahu saying...
Correct.
Was that six months to a year?
That was the first one.
So that one was consistent, is it not, with what Tulsi testified to fairly recently. Those were consistent, right?
Well,
that he said, Netanyahu said, could be within, didn't he say 6 months to a year?
I would need to hear the full context of Tulsi's clip from March. The one that I played was only 14, 15 seconds. Again, but I don't want to.
The point is, he's been saying it since 95.
I know, but even David Sanger, who everybody quotes with the New York Times because he's been covering specifically Iran and their nuclear capabilities for like 20 years of his career, he's pretty well respected. Everybody's talking about their capabilities. That, in other words, that's different from saying they have something right this minute.
True.
So is Netanyahu. So here's the thing. Of course, it's easier for our leaders or anybody else, right, to have a different view, because if you think your next door neighbor or their kid in their basement is making explosives and could, you know, blow up the whole neighborhood, you as the neighbor, you're gonna be a little more nervous about that.
Sure.
As is Israel, because Israel knows they're surrounded pretty much by people who hate them.
Yep.
And would like to basically like wipe them away from the planet.
Right.
So I understand a little paranoia from Netanyahu, okay? And I think that a lot of people in that country, in that part of the world, hate him and feel like, yeah, we wish we could have taken you out 30 years ago, right?
Every Jewish person has the right to feel uneasy with what they've had to experience their entire life.
When you're in Israel.
We're doing interviews. 2 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing interviews. You got Jordana Miller from ABC. I had Ruthie Bloom on yesterday. She happened to be in New York,
mm-hmm.
but she's talking to her family as they're in bomb shelters. And by the way, they all have bomb shelters in Israel. All those Jews have, you know, imagine that kind of a life. So I get that Bibi Netanyahu is concerned, and he should be concerned.
Yep.
But that's different from us. We have to have this clear mind and figure this out. My only point about this is that no matter what they're doing, if you can take out that mountain, that fortress that I've been talking about, if you have the opportunity to take that out, do it.
Yeah.
Clean and low risk. And that's basically what all of these experts are saying, that this is very clean.
Right.
There's low cost. You evacuate. You give them. You say, guys, evacuate the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You better evacuate. You give them the time. And then, boom, you take it out.
Yep.
I'm cool with that because that's not war. Well.
Yes, I'm fine. And I'm fine with, you know, random strikes that kill some of these leaders, so to speak, as long as it's not, you know, the Ayatollah. I threw up this poll question yesterday on X. I said, Trump claims that we know where he's hiding and he's safe for now. Would you support Trump in killing the Ayatollah and ending this current regime?
He's made it clear.
I don't think he will either. 754 people voted. 49% say yes, absolutely, I'd support it. And 51% say no, Please No War. I mean, that is literally when in think about in the history of polls when it comes to Donald Trump, if I've posted anything on X where it's almost been identically 50-50. And then Matt says to me on X, this is not the same as killing Soleimani. If Trump orders the assassination of the Ayatollah, he is probably violating the Constitution. But you can count on articles of impeachment from the Democrats with possible support from the likes of Thomas Massey and Rand Paul.
There's no way around it. If we're, Don, I hear what you're saying. Like, if we're just dropping one Moab, you know what I mean?
We'll be
like,
two, probably.
It's not an act of war. It's an act of war. And Iran is going to look at it like an act of war.
You're right.
So then the question is,
can you have somebody else drop it? That's what you just heard Ted Cruz dancing around. That what they're trying to figure out is there another aircraft or
Iranian
what have you? And there isn't. It's our
Israelis don't have the capacity.
They don't.
Only
because,
we do.
Because these suckers are 30,000 pounds each. So that B-2 stealth Spirit bomber that and maybe who knows if they secretly moved it already and it is someplace like in Italy or whatever. Because remember that's whatever. I won't get into it, but. They could be in Italy. It might not be 30 hours, but that's not the point. The point is what Greg is saying, that you heard Ted Cruz dance around that and say, well, we're there. Oh, well, which was sloppy of him, was it not? It was sloppy to say we're there. And then Tucker says, well, wait a minute. I thought we're not. Well, we're helping them. So it's not going to fly. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to fly worldwide if we say, well,
yeah.
We just loaned him a mother of all bunker busters, the super penetrators. You know, we just loaned them for the weekend, and we said you do what you do. That's not going to fly worldwide.
It was also very sloppy of Ted Cruz.
It was.
And I'm not saying that I have high expectations of senators, whether it's Ted Cruz. But, like, did you hear him in the beginning? He's like, well, I, from what I've read in the newspapers. Like, dude, you're a sitting United States senator. I read the newspaper because I'm a talk show host. And the fact that you're referring to, like, the Washington Post or the New York Post, I mean, I'm not expecting you to reveal all your sources, but could you at least come off a little bit educated as if you're just not, like, you know, the average Tom, Dick, or Harry reading a social media timeline? Good God, dude.
I think my feeling is that Ted Cruz was expecting that this was a friendly interview.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't expect that Tucker would say, wait a minute, what are you? You know, Greg could do the better imitation. But
Cruz brought a knife to a gunfight, and Tucker was holding the gun.
And so Ted Cruz generally, I mean, he clerked under a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah,
he's a pretty
sharp guy. Yeah.
And so that really, that exchange did surprise me. And then you saw him step up as he realized, ruh-roh, Tucker is holding my feet to the fire on some of this stuff.
I don't want this to be done in a vacuum. I think that the Congress needs to have, you know, we need to start debating the War Powers Act and stuff like this, because if we're doing this, if we're going to do this, this needs to be debated. This can't just be, well, we're going to do this today. Like, that's not, I understand the president has the authority to do that. But, like,
Well, they would have a vote on it on the floor. That's what Rand Paul said in that first clip that I played.
There's ways around it.
Oh, okay.
Because if we can just, you know, if we just, like Don said, we just go over there and drop a few bombs, it's not quote-unquote a war.
Yeah.
Iran's going to look at it like that. But.
Sure. All right, if you guys want to jump in, 855-839-1210, the phone number, 855-839-1210. According to every poll that I've seen on social media, it is very close. It is a big split down the middle here. Would love to hear from people on either side, pro-war or anti-war, no matter how much of a Trump supporter you are. 855-839-1210. Hour 2 with the news coming up next here on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.